Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thank you so much for being with us today, man. It has been crazy busy. You would think, even though, you know, we're just getting open, that things would be a little slow, but no. You know, and one of the reasons that our guest is on today instead of last Thursday is because we both were in the trenches being busy with our other business. So we are privileged and glad to welcome back Burton Kelso. Good morning, Burton. How you doing?
Good morning, G. How are you doing this morning?
All right. I appreciate you coming on. You know, we're still in the kind of, I guess, the transitional phases in terms of what's going on and how we're dealing with the coronavirus and the after effects of that. But one of the things that has really gotten us through is our tech. But we need to really, you know, worry about how we're, you know, taking care of our tech so that it lasts a lot longer and is a lot more durable than you know, we're accustomed to, because we're using it so much. So you're going to give us some insight into what we should be doing right now.
Yeah, the challenge with the states opening or reopening is that we really need to put together a toolkit, or people need to have a toolkit in order to help keep themselves safe. The problem is that even though states are reopening, it's, you know, in my opinion, a little bit more economic driven, but I still think it's too early to open up. But at the same time, people are itching to get out and ready to do stuff. So I think obviously it's a good idea to put some things in place or some rules that people need to follow in order to make sure that they are keeping safe. And a lot of that involves technology. Obviously, we have to practice good technology hygiene in order to keep ourselves and our family safe. And at the same time, there's some different technology that we can embrace that will allow us to keep ourselves and our family safe and to keep the community safe, because social distancing and the wearing of masks and gloves is not about ourselves. It's more about keeping those in our community safe and to help prevent the spread of COVID-19, and also to take a little bit of the burden off of emergency responders in our hospitals so that they're not overloaded with sick patients. So, you know, not many people are talking about it, but yeah, there's definitely a list of things technology-wise that we need to do in order to re-enter society safely.
I know there's probably a lot of people, probably me included, that are saying, oh my goodness, I didn't realize how much tech is my friend, right? You know, until we got into this mess. But we do have to worry about, you know, transmitting this with our tech devices. We not only using tech more in our homes, but we're using tech more out when we go and pay for stuff now, you know, and not a lot of, they're not wanting in a lot of these cases, a lot of transference of cash or a lot of even taking cards. I notice people wiping off my debit card when I'm using it. So in a lot of cases, I'm using my phone and some of the apps on my phone to pay for a lot of this stuff. So, but us what basically we should be doing right now.
Well, probably the first and most obvious thing is to prevent the spread is to just make sure that you're properly washing your hands and making sure that you're keeping them moisturized, because that's ultimately the major thing that you have to do in order to prevent the spread of COVID-19. So I think people need to just get into a mindset of doing basic regular hygiene that we normally may not do. I hate to say it, unfortunately. And I know you've seen it too in public places where people will use the facilities and not wash their hands when they're walking out. So I think that's first and foremost.
I was in an aisle at a store and had gone through the soap aisle and noticed that like the bar soap, which I don't use bar soap that much anymore, but even the bar soap was gone when this first started out. And I was on the next aisle and I heard this guy exclaim, like, "What, are people just learning how to wash And that's not exactly what his term was, but I couldn't help but laugh, because it seems like, okay, why is this a new thing? I was taught you wash your hands. You wash your hands before you go in the refrigerator. You wash your hands before you eat. Washing your hands is kind of a regular thing. And so, yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned the moisturizer, because it does take a toll on your hands. So you have to kind of have soap and water, sanitizer, and moisturizer, you know. So that's your little kind of to-go packet.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think you nailed it right, that you definitely – have to make sure that you do have that little to-go packet with you that you can carry out, because, you know, not all stores are going to have the big jar of sanitizer sitting at the counter for you to use. And when we go out, I don't think people think much about it, but, you know, we touch a lot of stuff when we're out and about doing our day-to-day stuff. So it's very important that you do the basic steps when you're reentering society, and just making sure that you're being cognizant, because it's not over, you know, as far as COVID-19. I mean, you know, I know there's places opening up, but you still just have to have the mindset that not necessarily that you're going to war, but at the same time, it's like you've got to have the mindset of having good, just good basic hygiene.
For sure. It's important that even the stuff that other people are not touching, like your cell phone, usually other people are not touching it. If you're touching other stuff and then touching like your cell phone, you need to constantly be vigilant about that, tablets, all kind of stuff, because whatever you're touching, you're bringing back into your car, your home. You know, I find myself now doing the steering wheel, doing the shift on, you know, door handles on the car, as well as, you know, like the stuff in the house and everything too. So.
Right.
And by the way, I wanted to let you know, I agree with you. I think it's a little bit too early for some of this stuff. My husband and I kind of go at it about this stuff too, but I'm like, you know, my life's more important. Sorry. Yeah, I like money too, but my life is a little bit more important. So.
Right. One of the things I was going to throw out as far as tech, since we're talking about it, but this is a pretty costly item. I mean, since we're entering what's considered a new normal, you know, if you've got deep pockets, they actually make an ozone water generating faucet that's supposed to kill germs and viruses and bacteria. That's good technology, but at the same time, can you imagine spending about $2,000 to $3,000 on an ozone generating kitchen faucet in order to help reduce the amount of germs and stuff that you have in your home? So, you know, for the listeners out there, you can look up a product and decide it's for you. It's actually called the Aqualogic Water Faucet and it's made by a company called Lenova, which is L-E-N-O-V-A. But you can look them up and check out this water faucet. They have two different models on LenovoSinks.com. So if you're really looking for ways to help disinfect, there's a, I call it costly for a kitchen faucet, but there's a way that you can definitely install something in your home to kind of help counteract some of the germs and viruses out there. Because, you know, I don't think that you can necessarily put a price on, you know, on your health, but at the same time, you definitely need to check it out and just see. So yeah, the faucet's called Aqualogic and the company is Lenova, and you can check out the website at LenovaSinks.com and kind of decide for you if this is a tech item that you want to embrace and put into your home to help keep you a little bit more safer. So
yeah, I mean, and it is, it's an awkward time to really be considering something like that right now. Like you said, you have to have the deep pockets right now, because if you're one of those people that has been furloughed or lost your job, you know, that's not even on your radar right at the moment. You know, you're just trying to deal with the basics. But it is something that, you know, you might want to put, you know, keep on your mind, you know, go back to it every now and then, and like maybe when the tax refund comes in or something like that, the next year, it might be, you know, might move a little closer to the top of your list. So.
Right. And I think this may be, like I said, the Lenovo Aqualogic faucet may be geared towards, I would say probably restaurants and, of course, people that are a little bit more affluent. But, if you have a business, I mean, it's something to definitely think about. Because in our neck of the woods, I think just yesterday, there was a one of the chains that franchises out, there was a stylist at the salon who was showing symptoms of COVID-19 and had the possibility of infecting about 90 people, you know. I know. That's something to think about as you try to reenter society, you know. So you might want to take a look at that story, because it was in Springfield, Missouri. And, I think the stylist had been at the salon for about a week. And, you know, the stylist and the customers were wearing masks. But at the same time, you know, it's something to think about.
Yeah. What a shame.
I know.
Go ahead.
So I was going to say, one of the other things that we obviously need to talk about, too, is the whole mask thing. You know, do you wear it? Do you don't wear it? And, you know, tech-wise, you know, what's going to be the best type of mask that you need to wear? You know, it's my mindset, obviously, just to protect other people and not to be selfish. You obviously, when you go into crowded places, you should probably don a mask. And obviously, there are large corporations that agree, like Costco, and I see some fast food chains are making their employees glove up and wear masks just to kind of keep safe. But the thing that's important with masks is that your basic cloth mask will do a little to protect you, but obviously, I mean, if you can get a hold of it in your area, the N95 respirator is probably going to offer the best protection that you can get against COVID-19. Now, I know most people are saying that obviously you want to direct the N95 respirators to medical professionals, but if in your area, if it's not as densely populated or you don't have that many cases, and if you can get one, then obviously your N95 respirator is going to offer you the best protection out there.
Well, I have to say I'm, and I have not used it yet because it's so precious, but someone actually sent me one. Thank you for the person that sent me one. I greatly appreciate it because they thought my life was worth it. It's like, okay, when do I wear this? It's the only one I've got, you know, it's supposed to, it's like, sacred now. It's like, when do I wear it?
Well, right. Well, I've got some advice as that, as far as that's concerned, because I'm married to a medical professional. So according to my wife, Martha, you can wear your N95 respirator over and over again. The thing is that obviously when it gets moist, you just want it to dry out, and then you can reutilize it. Even though they're considered temporary, you can mm-hmm. continue to wear it over and over again. Because I've had the same, as an essential employee or essential business, I've had an N95 respirator probably for the past 2 months, the same one, and my straps have even broken up, but since they're rubber, I've managed to tie them up and still wear the same respirator, and it still provides the same type of protection. So you can wear yours, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think that'd be fair to your husband, though, because, you know, did he get one or you just have one?
Well, actually, because of his job, because he was considered essential, although unfortunately right now he is furloughed for a while. He goes back in June, but my husband got one through his job.
Oh, okay.
So they're all wearing them at the job. And then what we started doing, he doesn't necessarily wear it here. We've got the ones that I actually had some of those before that you get at the store for allergies. So when I go out and mow the yard or whatever, vacuum or whatever, I was using those. But, we've gotten to the point now, especially since they talked about the sun, we were actually sitting our mask in the car window in the hope that helps.
It does. I mean, yeah, you can definitely get more use out of it. So, yeah, don't be afraid to wear it, you know, because you can wear it multiple times. So,
yeah.
So,
that's
yeah,
good.
Keep that in mind. But, I mean, any form of protection is good as far as wearing it out. So if you want to save it for a dire situation, you can definitely do that. But at the same time, you want to, you know, you just want to have some type of face covering on because something's better than nothing. You know,
that's true. So we are going to take a break. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. And we hear Burton Kelso of Integral. Always a pleasure to have you on, Burton. And you can't call in today, unfortunately, but if you have questions, you know, always feel free to, you know, send it to the G's Power Hour Facebook page. And if we can get it to them in advance on the shows that we pre-record, we will do that. But in the meantime, we're going to take this break, G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arklatex. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chillin'?
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us. Today we are here with Burton Kelso of Integral talking about this transitional phase that we're in and trying to stay safe and clean and disinfected, especially with our tech during the coronavirus. And I was just kind of going back over some of the notes that you sent about the one in every 12 bank cards and one in the $7 bills are contaminated with germs. That's, you know, it's like,
yeah.
Counting like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, no. And I really feel bad for the people that have had to
just kind of, you know, stay there. And, oh, well, I guess there's some people that probably would say, no, I'd just rather, you know, not work this job anymore. But there's some people that are that have to work the job, the essential workers, you know, the people that we're buying our groceries from and all types of stuff. You know, I really feel for them because they're the ones that, for the most part, if it's not like a self-checkout, and even with self-checkout, you still have to have some sort of interaction sometimes, even then, or directing traffic in stores, the new traffic cop, you know.
Right.
I really, you know, I have to say I really appreciate them as well as our medical workers. And so, you know, and like I said, there are some different things now. You know, we've got the plexiglass up there, so a lot of it is not a lot of some of the, I guess you could say, cash transactions have gone away. But then you've got, you know, you've got to punch in your debit card number, or you've got to say yes or no to these questions and stuff like that. And that's still a risk, even if it's just a fingertip touch, you know. But
right.
Yeah.
One of the things I would recommend people doing if they're going out and about, I know you sometimes can't be picky with the merchants that you use. Obviously, if you can do online purchasing, that's going to keep you safe because your information is electronic, but not everything can be purchased online. So
right.
When you're out and about, I would highly recommend people, in order to stay safe, to utilize some of the wireless pay systems out there, such as Square or Google Pay, Samsung Pay, Apple Pay. I mean, I definitely would recommend that people would go with more of a touchless system, because I've seen merchants where, you know, for the most part, you're the one that has to insert your credit card into the credit card machine. It's your risk. But part of the challenge, if you have a debit card, is that you know, you still have to put in your PIN number in order to make that purchase. So I think one of the other ways to kind of reduce your risk is to not put your PIN number in when you use a debit card at your online retailer, because you just insert the card in and pull it out. I mean, that just minimized your risk. But once you touch that keypad, you know, are you wiping it down? Obviously, the merchant's not, because the keypad is first facing you.
Right.
It's, you know, and unless you're carrying wipes around with you, it just puts you more of at a risk. So for you debit card users out there, which I know there's a lot of, you might want to consider just not foregoing entering that PIN. And then also, too, from a cybersecurity aspect, not entering in your PIN is a little bit safer method to use, as opposed to entering in your PIN when you use your debit card. Because what happens is if you use your credit card, or use it as a credit card, it only has like maybe the last four digits of your credit card. When you use it as a user debit card, it's just like a regular debit card, then not only do they have your account information, but they also have your PIN number too. So it puts you a little bit more at a risk when you use your PIN with your card. So keep yourself sanitized and you keep yourself safe. Never enter that PIN in. But before you follow Burton's advice, make sure you go to your bank and find out if there's an additional fee if you just use it as a credit card. So, I mean, but I would, even with the fee, I think your life is a little bit more valuable. So it's always probably a best, you know, a good idea just to use your debit card as a credit card just to minimize your risk. But, you know,
well, then,
you know,
also too, the other thing I've run into, like, it's, some of these places, unless you have an account with them, it's hard to use some of the technology. For example, I just found out I've been using other means, like I use some of the shopping apps like ShopKix, sometimes where you can get like a Walmart gift card, or even Ibotta, where you can get Walmart gift card, and just, you know, then they just scan it and stuff. However, I tried to use Google Pay and found out that Walmart does not use Google Pay.
Nope.
And I was surprised.
That I'm not, because just, you know, because it's Walmart. But, I mean, I think with the large retailers, you're not going to get all of the wireless pay options. But I would say most of your larger retailers, essentially, if they're essential businesses, are taking special precautions to make their customers feel safe. I think, I never really want to take a dig at small businesses, but I think, you know, your small businesses and your mom and pop shops, you know, hopefully they're doing their due diligence and making sure that their customers are safe. But at the same time, just to make people a little bit more comfortable coming into the shop, I think if they adopted more of a wireless system, that would give more people peace of mind, you know? So,
And I think that's the one thing we need to discuss a little bit more about, you know, the small business, because I know me personally have been avoiding using tech in some of my stuff. You know, it was like, you know, a cash or check, and check was in a certain amount of time ahead of time type stuff. And it's, and I'm speaking probably more for my event planning business than anything else. But, you know, now it's like, okay, now, you know, I'm really going to have to buckle down and figure out how to make this work for me and how to make it affordable. And so maybe, you know, the use of PayPal. But I think, you know, I think a lot of our small businesses now are going to have to maybe have some tutorials or something like that on, you know, how to make it cost effective and, you know, also just effective in terms of dealing with customer service as well. So that's something. But I wanted to ask you a little bit about one of the things that you sent me about the contact tracing. And is that, you know, on your smartphone and tablet, how are we supposed to, I guess, be responsible for the contact tracing? Is that a matter of, you know, for example, I know Google, I think, has like a timeline or something, that app on like some of the Android phones, like a Samsung or whatever. Is that one method of doing that, or is there a particular way to do that?
Well, contact tracing is a technology that's put together by Apple and Google, and the whole idea is, I joke when I say this, but since people are responsible, they're like, you know, well, let's go ahead and take matters into our own hands just to make sure that we can stop the spread of the disease. But it's software that integrates into your iPhone or your Android phone that works in conjunction with specific COVID-19 apps to allow you to kind of track where you've been, and then it allows you to anonymously report if you've been exposed to COVID-19, like if you've been tested, you can report anonymously that you've been exposed. And then also I let you know if you've been in a hotbed of areas that people have been infected with COVID-19. So the challenge is that, you know, with all forms of technology that kind of track you, there's always the whole privacy issue that goes on with that device. But the good news is on both Android and Apple devices, you have to enable contact tracing in order for it to work, and download the app, and your whatever city or state that you're in has to sign up for the program and be, you know, do a voluntary put voluntary steps in with their reporting system that they're going to let people know about it. So, I mean, there's a lot involved, but, you know, I think if you're able to enable it, I mean, it would be a bad idea, and hopefully more states and, you know, the government will kind of jump on board with it, because I think it's important, you know?
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, for our own protection, some of these things we've talked about before recently, and want to make sure that everybody remembers them. You've talked about phonesoap.com. You've talked about tech21.com and the, I guess, what, antimicrobial.
Yeah.
Antimicrobial.
I struggle with that one.
Whatever.
Right.
Yeah. But and we'll be posting these on the Deep Power Hour and then Pure and Clean US. But one of the things that we want to talk about when we come back is the tips that you have about working remotely during the corona pandemic. Because a lot of these companies now, it's not going to be just during the pandemic. They're changing their business model. And so working from home requires a whole different set of skills and disciplines. So we want to talk about that when we come back. Okay, Burton?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. All right. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We're here with Burton Kelso of Integral talking about staying safe with our tech during the coronavirus pandemic and actually the transition. And unfortunately, it looks like we might end up with a second heavy round. So we want to be safe and want to get you on board with that. So, you know, stay with us. We will be right back.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old broom again.
Now it's on for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
Sweeper is redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer. Clean better or your money back. Guaranteed.
Hi, I'm Gretchen Dip Simmons with Farrell Realty, but you know me as G from G's Power Hour. Much of the time when I'm not engaging with you on my show, I'm dealing in real estate in beautiful Central Florida. But because I'm here, that doesn't mean I can't help you wherever you are. So if you're looking to buy, invest, relocate, rent, or sell, please give me a call at 407-968-9387. That's 407-968-9387, and let me help you with your real estate needs.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G, and thank you for joining us today. We are moving our Tech Thursday segment this month because Burton and I were both in the trenches doing other work, but we still wanted to make sure that you had your information to be safe during this time of transition with the coronavirus, and, you know, keeping you, not only you but your tech safe, you know, and your other surfaces safe. So we've talked about Pure and Clean US. Well, he's sent information, but we talked before about a lot of these things. Pure and Clean US, I mean .us, phonesoap.com, and tech21.com, and we will be posting this information on G's Power Hour Facebook page. However, we know a lot of you are working from home or maybe trying to consider how you can start a new business from home because you've been furloughed or laid off or just, you know, have wanted to maybe do a transition for a while, and this might be the time. And so Burton has some tips about working remotely during the coronavirus pandemic, and one that we've talked about before, but I actually just did it while we were during break. On the break is called speedtest.net. And so we can talk a little bit about that, and I'm going to give you my numbers, and you can tell me is it good, is it not good, all that.
I love it. So obviously, if you're working from home, one of the most important things you have to have is high-speed internet. And if you're in a, you know, urban area, obviously it's not going to be a problem, but it's rural folks that sometimes have to worry about internet speed. And most cable companies have been a little bit lax as far as giving up the speeds during this whole COVID-19 crisis because of school and because of working from home. But one of the best ways to make sure that you're getting the speeds from your cable company is to go to speedtest.net. And the website, which is put together by Ookla, is one of the probably top sites to go to test your internet speed. When you go to speedtest.net, it'll identify what internet service you're on. It'll also give you the option to click on Go. And when you click on Go, it gives you two speeds. It'll give you your download speed, which is very important because that's how quickly you can pull information down from the internet, such as your streaming music or streaming movies. And then the second number it'll give you is your upload speed, which shows how quickly you can send information from your computer up to the internet or to other computers. So in this day and age, the download speed that's considered for high-speed internet is 30 megabits per second. So if you have 30 megabits per second or higher, then you have what's considered broadband or high-speed internet. Anything above or anything above that obviously is excellent. Anything below that, you may start to experience issues with, with streaming music, doing Zoom, or even connecting to your office network. What are your numbers, G? I'm kind of curious what your upload and download is.
Let me check that because I was battling the squirrels that have taken a liking to my screen patio. First I wanted to ask you about ping, and
right.
That one comes in at an 11. What is that?
Well, ping is kind of like you sending a signal from one location to the next. So the lower the ping, the better. So I've got Google Fiber, and my ping is 3. And your ping is 11, which means it's pretty good. When you start to get in the ping
of
50 or, 100 or 400, then that means that your internet speed ain't the greatest. So a ping is just almost like when, it's the movie Hunt for Red October when they're pinging each other as far as the submarines. That's basically to judge the distance.
How close.
Is how far
right.
the other submarine is. But in internet speak, it's
right.
more how quickly can you send the signal from one location to another. So milliseconds. So that shows you how quickly it wants that information to ping and to get feedback. So, with that said, then obviously the most important numbers are your upload and your download speed.
Okay, so my download is 116.75. I guess
that is
megabytes
excellent.
Per second. Yeah, well,
that's
what excellent. It says. I'm not convinced, but okay.
you should be convinced because the good thing about Ookla speed test is that it's non-biased. I mean, it's not going based on what your cable company wants to tell you because normally your cable provider will tell you to go to their speed test website. Like Google has its own, Comcast has its own speed test, same thing with Spectrum, AT&T. But you want to use speedtest.net because it's non-biased. It's just letting you know raw information-wise what your internet speed's pulling. So what's your upload speed as far as your megabits per second?
Now, that's the one that before when we talked, you weren't impressed with, and I'm not either. And actually, while we were sitting here, I just redid it again, and my ping went up to 32. Download 116.26. Upload still around 11 something. Upload is 11.82.
So. Yeah, and that's upload is just basically when you send out an email, when you're uploading a file from your computer to another computer, that's when it would cause issues. But the download's the most important speed because that's how quickly you can pull information off of the internet. So if you're at 115 with your download, that means that you're going to have good Zoom conferences. You're going to be able to stream. You're going to be able to do work from home with no problem.
Now, I have had some Zoom conferences and Zoom classes and stuff like that. And, now that my honey's home, I have a Surface that I've used with the Realtor Association. I've been doing some of that. And then he used my computer, and then we've got the TV, and then we've got our cell phones. So I think it has taken a little bit of a more of a toll on what's going on. So how do you manage that? Oh, and also this is another question. So when we got our internet, we have it through Spectrum, we just got the regular internet. And then we, used a router to do Wi-Fi in the house.
Right.
Is that the way to do that, or do you actually – because I understand you can get Wi-Fi from the company itself versus getting just the regular internet, the, you know, wired internet, and then broadcasting it through the house. We're actually considering the possibility of getting a second. Also, one of our things is it's upstairs. We have a two-story home. It's upstairs in my office, and then sometimes I'm working downstairs because, you know, if you have a two-story house, you know it's cooler downstairs. So,
right.
We're thinking about getting maybe a second device to expand the signal in the house or something, or even now that it's gotten nicer, I want to work on my back patio. So, any
right.
thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. You know, that's the thing about working from home. You want to be able to work from anywhere. So, to answer your first question, as far as your wireless router, IT guys don't agree with my assessment of this, but my recommendation, just to minimize your issues, is to get a wireless router from your internet provider. Yes, you're paying or renting out the device, but it definitely helps cut down on the troubleshooting aspect if you start to have internet issues. So let's say that you have your modem and router through Spectrum. If you start to have internet issues, you can call Spectrum. They can troubleshoot both the modem and their router, and they can quickly dispatch a technician out to troubleshoot the issue. But if you're using your own equipment, then the only thing that Spectrum really cares about is the signal coming through their equipment. And that's the same with all internet providers. I think the problem with internet providers is that people think that the internet provider is going to troubleshoot all of the wireless issues and internet issues in your home. Your internet
right.
provider only cares about if the signal shows up to your home or home office. That's it. Anything above and beyond that, like with wireless printers and tablets and all that stuff, they could care less about. So to help that process, it's always best to just lease their equipment. If they have issues with their equipment or if they upgrade their equipment, you can always go in and swap out their equipment and get the latest and greatest equipment. And that way you just kind of help keep your wireless up and running and your internet up and running in your home. You're not
okay.
relying on third parties to make it work. Now, as far as expanding your Wi-Fi network in your home, I mean, there's several different tools that you can utilize in order to make that happen. You can use what's called a mesh network, and I think probably Google makes the best utility for what's considered a mesh network. They have what's called the mesh Wi-Fi 3-pack, or you can get it single. But the problem with the mesh system from Google, it's kind of pricey. Because like for a 3-pack of Google's home Wi-Fi mesh, you're looking about $250. And basically, you're purchasing what's called wireless repeaters that will repeat the wireless signal through your house. My
mm-hmm.
suggestion would be to get what's called a TP-Link power line adapter. And what that does is that it actually sends a wired signal through your home's power lines. And then when you buy them, they come in a set of two. So one end goes near your router, and then you place the other TP-Link adapter where you want to get wired or wireless access. So with any wireless issues, you just don't want to rely on just having a wireless repeater. You want something that's going to basically send a wired signal to that remote location, and then you can get something wireless on the other end to make it work. In fact, TP-Link makes a wireless, and you can go to TP-Link. Well, actually, it's tp-link.com, and you can go there, and they have a power line AC Wi-Fi kit. So one end is near your router. The other end you plug where you want wireless, and it will boost the wireless signal in your home or your home office.
Okay. We talked a little bit about cleaning already, and we can't emphasize it enough, but there's some other things. And so, you know, want to again emphasize the phonesoap.com and pureandclean.us. And then also I know you mentioned about being able to, and people, you know, have been told this before, you can do something with some disinfectant you make of your own making with 70% isopropyl alcohol. Want to talk a little bit about backing up your data again. So, because we've talked about it before, but this is important because if you're doing a lot more work at home, well, guess what? You got a lot more data that you're dealing with that you're not leaving at the office per se. Your office is right with you. So talk a little bit about that, please, Burton.
Yeah. So backing up is important, and I think most offices are going to what is considered cloud storage services like Dropbox or Google Drive or Microsoft OneDrive. And that's great if you want to share back files back and forth. But the most important thing that home office users or even business users need to do is to implement some sort of automatic backup for their office. So you can install external hard drives and utilize the tools within Windows, which you've got file history with Windows and you've got Time Machine with your Mac. But probably in this day and age, cloud backup services like Carbonite would be your best option, because Carbonite offers redundancy, and it'll actually store 30 days worth of backup. And it's kind of like install it and forget it. Once Carbonite's installed on your Windows or Mac, it'll automatically just back up information to the cloud, giving you peace of mind. If a disaster strikes, you can always recover your information.
Okay. And then what is you've mentioned Carbonite before, so I was kind of familiar with that. What is Backblaze.com?
Backblaze is another service like Carbonite, where the only difference between Backblaze and Carbonite is Backblaze will take your payments monthly, but Carbonite wants their $70 up, or actually it's $83 now, but they want it up front. So it depends on your budget. I mean, if it's better for your budget to use Backblaze, then you definitely want to sign up for Backblaze. But if you can shell out the full year of Carbonite, then you can definitely go ahead and do that as well. So it just depends, but they both work the same way.
Okay. Another tip that you have is about educating the workforce on the importance of cybersecurity. And we do know now that there are a lot of new scams out there and all types of stuff. So talk a little bit about this, Worthy.
So with COVID-19, there comes a ton of different scams. And the challenge is that when you're in the workplace, you kind of are under the umbrella of your IT department. They're able to kind of monitor and check out your computer system and to make sure that everything's A-okay. Now, if you're working for a large corporation, they're still able to monitor your email, which is important because most hacking scams are going to come in the form of a phishing scam email or a phone call or even a text message. But they won't be able to weed out everything because your scam phishing messages are always changing. So some can skip by IT and make it onto your home computer or your home laptop. So it's very important that you educate yourself as far as some of the scams that are going on as far as COVID-19 stuff. And so the best thing to understand with this in this pandemic is that most of the information that you need to get, you would have to visit like the CDC's website or even the World Health Organization's website, rather than relying on checking your email to see if there's see if there's any information about COVID-19. Because if you get an email about it, it's a good chance that it's probably going to be a scam message that's coming through.
Okay. All right. So I also want to ask you, you're talking about agreeing on a collaborating platform, which is real important right now. And I noticed you mentioned a couple here, Skype and Zoom. Now, I was going to attempt to use Skype the other day, well, a couple weeks ago, because I thought it would be a nice idea since we had not visited my mother-in-law in a while, to kind of lay eyes on her. So we wanted to do a call and, we ended up, I guess, using Facebook instead for a call. But I want to talk about using these platforms and I guess also budgeting for these platforms. So can you talk about what your recommendation is in terms of a quality platform, and then maybe talk a little bit about a cost-efficient platform?
Yeah, as far as video conferencing platforms, I mean, it really depends on what type of conversations you want to have with, say, your customers, employees. I think Zoom obviously is an easy choice for everyone because it's probably one of the few video platforms where it'll work on every device. And with Zoom, you don't have to sign up with an account. Now, Google has come out with Google Meet, which obviously requires a Gmail account. And if mm-hmm. you're part of, say, the Google Office, then it's not a problem because you've already got a Gmail account. But if you're collaborating with customers who don't have Gmail, or even with employees that they have their own different email systems, then, you know, Google Meet's not going to be for you, and it's going to be more of a Zoom or Skype type of platform. Because Skype is another one that it used to be you just could download Skype and use it like you could Zoom. But now with Skype, since Microsoft purchased it, you do have to have a Microsoft account in order to use Zoom. So you really have to pay attention to how you can collaborate with everyone video-wise just to make sure that you are all going to be able to utilize the same platform. Same thing with your documents as far as, say, like word processing or Excel or spreadsheet documents. Because you can collaborate real well with Microsoft Office 365. And the good thing about Office 365, I think for about $10 a month, you can actually share Word, Excel, PowerPoint, the whole Office suite with your staff because you can install it on up to 5 devices. But there are some businesses that don't want to utilize any of the Microsoft stuff. So then, you know, you can look at Google's G Suite platform. And the good thing about G Suite is that you can just set up a Gmail account and have access to all of the Google tools as far as word processing. Same thing with, but you can also sign up for G Suite too to offer a little bit more robust thing. And I know, you know, in your industry, as far as real estate, I know there's a lot of realtors that have embraced Google just because of the collaborative tools and that. But,
right,
you know,
like
the main
Google
thing,
Docs and stuff.
Right, exactly. But the main thing is you really have to sit down and find out what's going to be the best solution for you. I mean, I've always been a component of Microsoft, but, I mean, using Office 365 isn't within everyone's budget. So you just have to look and find out what's going to work the best for you, because I think for the most part, all software that's on the market, whether it be free or paid, is good software. I think the problem is for most people, they don't take the time to investigate to find out which platform is going to work best for them.
Okay. And then you talk about having a solid tech support team for you and your staff. Now, but if
right.
you are a small business, that's kind of hard to kind of incorporate into your budget or even into your manpower per se. So I guess you would contract out maybe, but if you're a small business working from home, okay, and the reason I emphasize small business because a larger business is usually going to provide a lot of that stuff anyway.
I think part of the problem with that is that you would have to confirm that your business is going to cover your home computer, because I know many companies offer what's called BYOD or bring your own device policies, and some of that is, well, you can access our software, but at the same time it's your dime if you have problems with your technology, because you know, I hate to say it, it's almost like the cybersecurity thing where 99% of cybersecurity requires user interaction. Most computer issues occur because of user negligence. And so, you know, you may work for a company that doesn't want to subscribe to having your own tech support. So working from home, you definitely want to find an IT company or an IT individual that you can trust, because, you know, when problems occur, you want to be able to call somebody and have instant access. I think with using a home computer, it's easy for you not to really worry about having the IT guy show up, or you can just call a friend of a friend to work on your tech stuff. But in this day and age with work from home, you definitely want to form a relationship with an IT professional. And also keep in mind, too, with an IT professional or professional company that is working to make sure that they're doing things to protect you and your family if they have to come into your home or home office in order to do work. So people think about, well, I've got an IT guy, but are they going to expose you to the virus if they show up? And that's important because, you know, you don't want a company who's not really thinking about your best interest. So in this day and age, IT support obviously is very important. So establish a relationship. I mean, there are some companies that are going to want you to sign up for remote services like on a monthly pay, but that's not always the case. I mean, you can always do pay as you need services, but make sure that you establish a relationship with a trusted company so that when trouble occurs, then you can just instantly call somebody up and know that they'll be able to help you out.
And we've got a few minutes left. I just wanted to ask you about a couple of other things that you talked about here, staying social with social media and also minimizing other habits. The whole social media thing, like I said, is a work in progress for me.
Right.
But it's okay. You know, I mean, I'm picking up different things. Like I learned the other day during a Zoom conference how to, I guess, so that if I don't necessarily want to be seen and I don't just want my name plastered, but I want, I guess, a face to go with the name, that I could put my picture up there. So I learned how to do that. And, I guess being able to change your background, which backgrounds are important when you're doing some of this stuff too. So, but anyway, business-wise, anyway.
The main thing I was going to say with social media is that the focus should be on just on developing relationships. That's the most important thing. So it's not about advertising. It's basically providing value and developing relationships. That's the most important thing that people can do as far as staying on social media. And of course, it's something that we all need to embrace because, you know, it's going to be a while before we can go out to different networking events and socialize. So got to develop
right.
those relationships online.
Right, for sure. And then, you know, like you're talking about minimizing other habits, like the one thing is keeping the beverages away from the computer. Just
right.
So, anyway.
You can always find me online at either burtonkelso.com or just look for Burton Kelso all over social media. I'm on all the platforms. You know me, I love technology. I've read all the manuals, and I'm serious about making technology fun and easy to use for everyone.
Thank you again for joining us. Keep you and your family safe. Really appreciate it. You know, we never have enough time for you, but we hope to have you back next month, God willing. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going anywhere. So you and your family stay safe as well.
Okay, thank you. Also, I just want to thank our CEO and my technical producer, Princess Cooper, for really, you know, hanging in there too through this time. She's excessively busy as well, but she's what makes everything go around here. So thank you, Princess. And thank you all for listening. Have a blessed day. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. And take care, be well, be safe, be blessed, and please remember all real power comes from God. Take care. We'll be right back.